The following is a paid commercial program. The views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent guarantees of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of WHUD or PAML Broadcasting. Mahoney Asset Management presents A GPS for Your Finances, hosted by their president and CEO, Ken Mahoney. Ken is a Hudson Valley resident and businessman with 27 years of experience in retirement, the markets, investment strategies, and more. He presents this show to help you navigate today's financial landscape, to make it easier for you to understand and to answer your questions. Now, here's the host of A GPS for Your Finances, Ken Mahoney.
And good morning and welcome to another edition of GPS for Your Finances. I'm your host, Ken Mahoney, and we're going to be tackling a topic that people are really confused about, long-term care. And so today's topic, long-term care myths and misconceptions, and we have an insurance guru with us here, Les Von Lossberg. Thank you for being with us this morning.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
And there is a lot of myths and misconceptions about long-term care, you know, of what covers and Medicare covers and what they don't cover and, what, and so forth. So hopefully for our listening audience today, we'll be able to dissect that and help them out. So what would you say one of the biggest myths are when it comes to long-term care planning?
One of the biggest myths, I think, is that people believe somehow that they actually have long-term care protection. And they think they're getting that long-term care protection under their major medical plans or if they're older on Medicare.
All right, so let's say they have an HMO or whatever the case.
Yes.
And they had a long-term illness. They kind of think they'll pay that forever. They'll pay that as long as they need to pay that.
Well, in fact, they will pay unlimited amounts of money for illness. That's the main point, really, is that medical insurance plans are dealing with illnesses and accidents to get people well. And there is a certain amount of long-term care coverage under those plans. However, you have to qualify for it, and it's limited. Under these kinds of plans, for example, you have to be in the hospital at least 3 days, not counting the day of admission or the day of discharge. You have to get into a facility for this long-term care within 30 days, usually, of the time you leave the hospital. You have to go into the facility for the same reason you were in the hospital.
So there's a lot of different tests then.
Oh, yeah. And you have to have medical care needs that are so great that you, in fact, can't have those medical care needs met at home. And you have a limited number of days when you can be covered, and the only place you can be covered is a skilled nursing facility. When we talk about long-term care planning today, we're really talking not about medical long-term care planning, but really custodial long-term care planning.
The kind of care. How would you define custodian versus?
The vast majority of people who need long-term care need it because they have activities of daily living difficulties.
Okay, eating. So for instance, someone had a stroke, God forbid.
Okay, that's right. They're having trouble eating, dressing, getting out of bed into a chair, out of the chair back into bed. And these kinds of things could otherwise have people who are really quite healthy suffering from inability to perform those duties. And they need someone either to be there to help them or to watch them in case they need help.
So let's say you're 66 years old, you have Medicare, okay, and we know how that works. And you have a supplement, the 20% that covers. So that basically runs out, you're saying. Once you go past a certain time frame or a different test, you can no longer use the Medicare or the supplement to, you know, to provide for that long-term care illness?
Well, no. It's a limited amount of care, and it's only for medical care. So that a person who has difficulty with dressing, bathing, eating, mobility, those are not necessary medical problems.
Right.
They are, in fact, the kinds of things that happen to people naturally because we age.
Right. And you need somebody to help you get in and out of the tub, I guess, and in and out of different things and so forth.
Sure. And those are natural. People who are 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, and 100 become more frail, and they need that kind of help. And that's not a medical issue. They might otherwise be absolutely in perfect health for their age. The other area in which this kind of coverage helps people is when they have organic mental disorders, such as Alzheimer's disease or any other form of dementia. Those people are not otherwise ill. They, in fact, may be very, very physically healthy, but they need supervision.
Right.
And
in
no
those cases, actually, a lot of times they're physically okay.
That.
It's the
That's
other
right.
part that they see. They lose their memory. They're forgetful.
That's right.
Well, if you're just tuning in, you're tuning in to GPS for Your Finances. I'm your host, Ken Mahoney. Today's topic, long-term care, myths and misconceptions. And we have Les Von Lossberg helping us with these myths and misconceptions to help you at home determine whether or not you should do something about your long-term care planning. And when I say long-term care planning, because it is planning. It's a process. You do something before it happens, right? Because once it happens, God forbid you had a stroke, you can no longer get long-term care insurance or these type of things, generally speaking.
That's right. That's one of the problems with insurance.
Right.
You can't get it unless you're very healthy and don't need the coverage you're trying to buy. But I think everyone should consider long-term care planning, because it's not just about the insurance. It's about a whole host of other issues that dovetail with the possibility that insurance might work for you to help make your plan better. Right. People have to really come to this kind of plan.
But is that hard to plan? Say you're really planning for not your own demise, but you're planning for your own long-term sickness, so to speak. Is there, you know what I'm saying? That's just kind of a tough topic for people to recognize, hey, I'm getting older, or mom's getting older, or dad's getting older. I have to start planning for that? You know, it's kind of...
Yes. It's a difficult topic to raise, but it's a topic that we need to deal with because of the fact that we're living so much longer.
True.
There was a time when people had no Social Security benefits. They had no medical benefits related to retirement. So in 1965, Medicare was
born.
Yeah. It was executed as a document, and it became a program, and people could get on Medicare and get basic kinds of health benefits. At that time, life expectancy was around age 65. Mm-hmm. So the old paradigm was that people.
And now you're
live.
Very. If you pass away at 65, you're really considered very young. It's like,
absolutely.
What happened here?
Yeah. Absolutely. So the old paradigm was that people would live and work until age 65. They'd be healthy until 68 or 69. They'd get sick between 69 and 71 or 72. They'd die. They'd get off the Medicare rolls, and somebody else would come on. Well, what happens today is that people work into their 70s. Then they retire, and they may spend 20 or 25 years either in another career,
right,
or they may, in fact, have a wonderful long retirement. So this was not planned for, but it's the problem that we face today. And the chances that someone who reaches age 65 will need some assistance for a protracted period of long-term care run somewhere between 60 and 70%. And again, this is a natural thing that happens to us for many people.
And I guess it's something that we have to kind of understand that. You see, the first myth about long-term care is most people think that they're covered through their HMO, healthcare provider, Medicare, and so forth. And you're
yes.
saying, wait a second, you're really not, because it doesn't really provide for bathing or coming over and helping out and so forth. Because a lot of times I hear, well, if anything happens to my spouse, I'll take care of them.
Yes, that's another issue that people have to deal with, and why
I
they
mean,
have
I love
to
that
come...
person so much. Of course, I'll take care of them.
Yeah.
But...
why they have to come to the process with a reasonable approach. For example, people do believe that their spouse will take care of them, and the spouse will agree.
Right.
And what I might be looking at across the table from me is a spouse who weighs 110 pounds, and the spouse next to that one weighs 240 pounds. And the question is...
can you lift 240
yeah,
pounds?
Can you get that person out of bed?
Right. Maybe your Jack O'Lane be able to do that.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, I'm Ken Mahoney for GPS for Your Finances. Today's topic, long-term care myths and misconceptions with Les von Lossberg. We'll be back right after this break.
Ken Mahoney at Mahoney Asset Management has a new book out, Life on Your Terms, another book in the GPS Guide to Your Retirement series from Ken Mahoney at Mahoney Asset Management. We have given away hundreds and hundreds of his books over the years, and now it's a brand new one called Life on Your Terms, another book in the GPS Guide to Your Retirement series. Get it now before it even gets to Barnes & Noble and Amazon.com. Our listeners will have the first copies. Be among the first 20 callers right now to get a free copy at 845-371-0101. First 20 callers get the new book from Ken Mahoney for 2017, Life on Your Terms, another book in the GPS Guide to Your Retirement series, and you can get it for free right now. That number again, 845-371-0101. Life on Your Terms from Ken Mahoney at Mahoney Asset Management.
And welcome back to GPS for Your Finances. I'm your host, Ken Mahoney, and we're tackling the topic of long-term care myths and misconceptions. We're joined with guest Les von Lossberg. Thank you for joining us today and help us dissect this kind of complicated topic, because there's so many different answers. I've read so many different stories about this. I guess the biggest thing you think about is the exposure. What are the costs of, let's say, not playing? What's the cost of not having long-term care in place? What could be the potential cost for that?
The potential costs can be very high, depending on where you get care. If you get care at home, you may pay $25 or $35 an hour for a home health aide. And if you have someone for 8 hours, you're looking at $250 to $275 or more dollars a day. If you're looking at a...
so it's around this. Let's say $300 a day, just make it easier. And
yeah.
It's 30 days a month. So
could be $9,000
yes.
just for home health care.
Right.
And there are places in the New York area where people are paying $400 and $500 a day for nursing facility care. Though the majority of care, in fact, does get taken care of at home. But there are times when people do need to go to outside facilities.
So we know there's some exposure for those, let's say, don't plan for long-term care. And it's always hard because you're kind of planning for something that hasn't happened yet. And of course, there's ways to deal with that. There's insurance, there's planning. But let's go through the cost, because some I've heard people say, wait, long-term care? Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, but it's so expensive. Like, I can't afford it. I can't afford long-term care. So what do you say to those people, you know, who can't afford, let's say, or think they can't afford a long-term care policy to deal with the potential costs, as you mentioned?
When you take a look at the cost for long-term care insurance on an annual basis, for something that's a pure insurance protection product, like your homeowner's insurance, your liability insurance, your automobile insurance, the actual cost, given the benefits that most people can get out of a policy, is very small. It's a small percentage of the total benefit you can get out, but it can be a large amount of money, and people are concerned about it. When people purchase long-term care insurance, or if they think about purchasing long-term care insurance, they have to recognize some basic principles. I think one of the basic principles is that the purchase of long-term care insurance is budget-driven. It should be purchased with an amount of money that people believe they can comfortably pay for.
Something that's comfortable, because sometimes I guess people may get blown away. Oh, you need, if you go to a nursing home, God forbid, be $12,000 a month, it's $144,000 a year. You need to protect $144,000 a year, and your premium is X. And it kind of probably scares people from doing anything because it seems like such a high premium.
That's right.
So you're flipping upside down. So wait,
yeah, that's not what people
so
do.
You may not have the Mercedes of plans, so to speak, but maybe the Ford or Chevy of plans, so to speak, but just be able to customize with your own budget.
That's right. Most people will cost share with an insurance company when they buy insurance. They will pay part of the price, and the insurance company will pay part of the price of care. The other corollary here is that some coverage is better than none. Right. If I have to spend $300 a day for care, I would rather have a policy that paid $100 a day than not have a policy that paid $100 a day. Because if I have $100 coming from the insurance company, I just need to use $200 of my own money instead of three.
Right.
The other thing people don't recognize is that there are ways to reduce the cost for long-term care insurance. For example, there are federal tax deductions, and the federal tax deduction for long-term care premiums can be taken depending on whether or not you're a sole proprietor or partner in a partnership or a member in a limited liability company being taxed as a partnership, or you are an employee of somebody else. If you are an entrepreneur and you're a partner or you're a member in an LLC or a sole proprietor, you can actually take a large piece of your premium for yourself and a spouse and deduct it directly from your income, so that you're paying for that coverage.
So basically one-third is covered by federal and state.
Pre-tax dollar.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to a GPS for Your Finances with Ken Mahoney. Today's topic, long-term care myths and misconceptions, with Les von Lossberg, who is helping us trying to figure out this maze, if you will, of what long-term care is. Now, there's some people I would imagine say, wait, so long-term care, okay, I know there's a potential. I saw it happen in my family. My uncle may have had this. You know, they're in a nursing home for 10 years and so forth. But I kind of feel like I'm self-insured. I feel like I have money in my retirement account if myself and my wife go through this. So what do you say to those people? Say, hey, you know, I think I'm self-insured. I think we can handle this burden should this happen, like, let's say, happen in my family.
Well, I think when people think that, they need to look at the numbers. People may have $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, $800,000 in assets they can tap for this kind of planning. They have to think about what it means to take $100,000 of that money, for example, and pay for a nursing home, or $50,000 or $60,000 to pay for home health aid. When they've done their retirement planning, they've made some assumptions about money that's going to be remaining in their control and earning additional interest or some kind of growth. And what happens when you have these kind of long-term care expenses is that you lose not just the money, you lose the principal, but you lose all the future earnings on that money as well.
Right. So that future value calculations.
The impact snowballs going forward. And if people live together long, long lives, it's likely that possibly both of them, or not likely necessarily, but there's a chance that both of them will need long-term care. So they may need two aides. They may need... Right. Someone in a nursing home, someone in a home aid, and the money starts to really add up for those kinds of benefits.
I'm also wondering, for some people, let's say they're already in their late 60s, the kids are grown up, the mortgage is paid off, they have life insurance, but yet, you know, life insurance, it seems like you need more life insurance when the kids are running around when they're younger. probably need more life insurance with a big mortgage. So do you think as people get older, like long-term care, you need long-term care more than you need life insurance at that phase of life?
That's a circumstantial issue. That's circumstances and the facts of a person's circumstances will determine whether or not they continue to need life insurance. If people were buying life insurance solely for the purpose of paying estate taxes, many people's need for life insurance has evaporated in New York State and on a federal level. If they are buying that insurance for other reasons, either to endow their children with cash, or they're buying it because they want to hold on to a certain amount of money to replace a Social Security income that's lost when the first of two working spouses dies, then they don't want to let that insurance go. Or if they have consumer debt.
Right.
Or if their children have consumer debt and they want to cover it when they die.
Right. Maybe it's not so much letting the insurance go, but it seems like as you get older, the long-term care may be more of a risk to financial assets or to someone's family's net worth than actual life insurance.
Yes. Yeah, the two things that assail people during their lives that can wreck all their financial plans are disability during their working years and the need for long-term care in their retirement. Right. Those are two things that just upset all the planning that people do.
And we'll be right back on today's topic on GPS for Your Finances is long-term care, myths and misconceptions. We'll be returned right after this.
Ken Mahoney of Mahoney Asset Management is giving you a copy of his new book. It's called Life on Your Terms, and it's another in the series of the GPS Guide for Your Retirement books. Be among the first 20 callers right now at this special number, 845-371-0101. Let me repeat, 845-371-0101. You can get this book before anybody else, before it shows up in Barnes & Noble and at Amazon.com. It's available to you right now. It's called Life on Your Terms. It's another in the series of the GPS Guide to Your Retirement series, and it's from Ken Mahoney. And you want a copy of this new book. Be among the first 20 callers right now at 845-371-0101. Ken Mahoney's new book, Life on Your Terms, 845-371-0101 right now.
And welcome back to GPS for Your Finances. I'm your host, Ken Mahoney. Today's topic, long-term care, myths and misconceptions. We're here with Les von Lossberg, and we're tackling the topic that's on a lot of people's minds these days about long-term care and
the changes
of insurance companies coming and going and so forth. So what is the long-term care pay for? You know, what are the costs? What will they pay for? If you kind of break it down for our listeners so they kind of understand whether this is something they should think about and so forth.
The simplest way to think about long-term care insurance is that it pays for long-term care that medical insurance policies do not pay for. It pays for help with your activities of daily living, like eating, dressing, bathing, and mobility, getting out of bed into a chair, back into bed. And it also pays when a person needs supervision because of cognitive impairment with Alzheimer's disease or some form of dementia. But there are other collateral benefits that come with a long-term care insurance policy when it's an appropriate piece of someone's plan. The first thing, of course, is that you shift some of the risk of having to pay these expenses onto an insurance company for a very small amount compared to what the total benefit is that you might get from a policy. The second very important thing is that you get to hold on to your own assets to support your own quality of life. As I mentioned earlier, many people who need long-term care are not really ill. They have quite fulfilling lives. And they want to go to the theater, they want to go to restaurants, they want to take vacations. Well, if you're spending your excess money on long-term care, you don't have the money to do those things.
Right.
So your quality of life goes down along with your asset balances. The other thing is that having that money that is yours that you put together through your working life gives you a lot of flexibility and more options as to where you'll receive your care, when you'll receive your care, what kind of care you'll get, and who is going to provide that care.
So can I ask this? So having, let's say, a long-term care insurance policy, does that give you better? Could that give you better quality of care, so to speak?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a big one because what most people are concerned about is making sure they have a quality of care.
Quality of care in the long-term care area is a function in large measure of what it costs. This is an area where you get what you pay for.
Okay.
If you spend very little money, you get very little care. You may get absolutely excellent care, but you may only get it for 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day or 4 hours a day. The question is, what about the other 20 hours of the day?
Right.
Who's going to take care of you then? Or you wind up having a certain amount of money to spend if you need outside care in a nursing facility, for example. You can only pay what you can pay.
Right.
And once you pay all of that, you're left with
Medicaid.
That's
a very important distinction, because when you think about long-term care insurance, and some people right away, oh, I don't want to pay premiums. Oh, my gosh. It's a cost. But you say, wait a second. This can give you better quality care should you have a long-term illness. That could be all the difference in the world to someone deciding to do a long-term care planning or long-term care insurance versus not doing it.
Absolutely. Because, again, you go back to that idea of reasonable planning. People say, my spouse will take care of me. What about your spouse getting older with you?
Right.
Being smaller than you and unable to lift you out of bed.
Right.
Being unable to take care of you because your spouse has chronic medical conditions.
And most people don't want to be burdens for each other. Because, I mean, I know back in the day, I don't know what you say, 40s and 50s, you know, someone got ill, a sibling would help out, a child would help out. Now children are all over the country, they have careers, and they're not necessarily around to help out.
That's right.
And so forth. And also, I think most people don't want to be a burden to their spouse or children should they have a long-term illness. They want them to enjoy life as they can, try to enjoy life as much as they can with their limitations they have.
That's right. They want to have care time minimized and quality time maximized. If anyone has spent any time in a family where someone was getting family care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, it takes an enormous toll on the caregivers, on the family circumstances, and on the physical and mental health of the people providing that care, because it's on and on and on day to day.
Right. So when a spouse says, hey, I'll take care of him, I'll take care of her, yes and no. Yeah, you can, but then what's the stress in the situation? And again, most of these people, spouses, are not trained in this area to be the nurse and be able to know how to lift and how to do
these type
of things.
That's right. And it has to be recognized that people who say, I'll take care of you, honey, for the rest of your life,
of course
they
feel like that.
Believe it.
Been married to you for 45 years, of course I'm going to take care of you.
And they'd be willing to do it. They just find themselves possibly at some point in their lives incapable.
Right.
So having more flexibility, more options is extremely important. Having quality time with your family as opposed to care time is extremely important. And the ability to choose, the ability to be free to make decisions about your own care becomes more and more important as people age and as they need that care, because they find themselves more and more dependent upon others, and nobody likes to be in that position.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to A GPS for Your Finances. I'm your host, Ken Mahoney. Today's special guest, Leslon Vestberg, and we're talking about long-term care myths and misconceptions, and I've learned something here already, that it's really important to know you have more choices. We pick up on that concept. So you basically, by having a policy or having this long-term care in place, you're going to give yourself more choices, which probably means you have probably better quality care if you have more choices.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The ability to pay for the care where you want it and from the people you want to receive your care from is extremely important. And people don't usually think about that.
Do you think sometimes it triggers, I know it's happened in our family, we've had strokes, we've had heart attacks, you know, parents and grandparents. Do you think it triggers somebody when someone gets ill and say, oh boy, you know, and then you kind of feel, just that could happen to me. Does that kind of trigger someone to start looking at this?
Sometimes it does. There's a lot of denial out there also.
Sure.
A lot of people think,
it's
you've
not gonna be
got
me.
A problem.
No.
I don't have a problem, but you've got a problem. The statistics are hard to swallow. 60 or 70% of people over 65 needing some kind of long-term care. And of course, it becomes equally difficult to swallow the idea that you might be looking at buying an insurance policy at age 50, 55, 60 that you might not even use for 10 or 15 or 20 years.
Right. Or may never ever use.
Or may never use.
Which is a good case. Every now and then, people call me and say, hey, I'm still paying the insurance premium or life insurance, long-term care. I'm like, hey, John, it's nice to hear your voice. Like, you're not, just because you take the policy out, you're not supposed to try to implement it, so to speak.
Right. With a life insurance policy, the issue is just when it's going to happen, that's going to pay off.
Right.
With a long-term care policy, there is a real chance that it might not pay off. And I tell people up front, my hope is that you want to come find me sometime 25 years from now and complain about all the premiums you paid and never got a dollar out of your pocket
or
out of the insurance company's pocket to pay for your care.
But you have peace of mind along the way paying for the premiums, knowing that you are not going to be a burden to your spouse or a burden to the children and so forth.
All I can do is cheer for that person. They are one of the lucky ones that didn't need some support.
Well, thank you for your insights today. This has been really helpful, hopefully helpful for your listeners. In the meantime, have a great week. We'll be back here next week for GPS for Your Finances.
You've been listening to A GPS for Your Finances with Ken Mahoney, the president and CEO of Mahoney Asset Management. This is a paid commercial program, and the views, opinions, and advice presented are that of the host and guests and do not represent guarantees of results or represent the opinions of the staff and management of WHUD or Pamel Broadcasting. You can listen to previous editions of A GPS for Your Finances on demand by visiting WHUD.com. If you'd like to ask a question, email Ken at Mahoney. MahoneyGPS.com, and Ken will answer it on the next edition of A GPS for Your Finances, next Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 100.7 WHUD.